I'm going to speak to you for a little while on this subject. It's a question. Can you believe God? Can you believe God? Now, I have three texts. The first one is taken from Romans 4, and it talks about Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Abraham, the pattern of faith. Abraham, to whom the Lord showed such grace and mercy, called the very friend of God. It says here in Romans 4:23, and Abraham believed God. That's what made the difference. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness, the fact that he believed God. It was imputed to him or reckoned to him or counted to him for holiness, for righteousness, acceptance. Now, Paul, the writer of this scripture, goes on and says something else to you and to me. He says, now, Abraham believed God. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, this was not written for Abraham's sake alone. That righteousness was imputed to him through faith, but for us also, to whom this same righteousness and holiness and acceptance shall be imputed if we believe God. Isn't that something? Same thing. Abraham was a man just like you, the fellow listening to me right now. He was a man just like you, same man of like passions. Family man, working man, laboring man, farmer. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And that wasn't written just for Abraham. He was no special character in this sense of the word, but it was written for us also, to whom this same righteousness and holiness and acceptance by the same God shall be given if we believe God. Can you believe God? And then in Mark 16, verse 15, our Lord gathered his disciples about him after he'd been crucified and risen from the grave and before he ascended back to the Father. And he said to them, to these 11 apostles, Judas was dead. Paul would later join them. But he said to these 11 apostles, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel, my gospel. The gospel of my grace and the gospel of my glory. You go preach my gospel to everybody, to every creature. Preach it to everybody. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, this gospel shall be damned. Now, can you believe the gospel? These are the words of Christ himself. You go preach this gospel wherever you go, to whomever you preach. And as they listen to you, that person who believes this gospel shall be gloriously, eternally, unchangeably saved. And the person who does not believe this gospel shall be damned. Now in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, there was a man who came to our Lord, a man who had a son that had some sort of disease, epilepsy, or something like a demon possessed. There was some problem. And he said to the Lord, he said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. Now, if you can do anything for him, will you help us? And our Lord looked at that man, and this is what he said. If you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that's what I'm asking you today. Can you believe God? Can you believe his word? Now, if there's any one thing that's established, I've read three texts. I could have read 3,000 on this subject. But if there's any one thing that's established in the Word of God, it is the importance of believing God. Just believing God. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must. If any man comes to God, he must believe that God is. And that God is the rewarder or the redeemer of all those who diligently seek Him. If any man comes to God, he must. There's no alternative. He must believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then four times the scripture says this, Habakkuk, Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans. The just shall live by faith. That's how they live. They live by faith. All the promises of God are to those who believe. There are no promises to people who don't believe. There's no love, there's no grace, there's no blood, there's no redemption for a person who does not believe. All the promises of God are in Christ. And they're yes. They're not yes and no, they're yes. But they're to those who believe. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Sarah, Rahab. Talks about all these people of the Old Testament who walked with God. And you know the one thing that all of these people had in common? The one thing, according to Hebrews chapter 11, faith. Faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. By faith, Enoch walked with God, and pleased God. By faith, Abraham was called out of his father's house to go to land that God would show. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Isaac. All things are possible to them that believe. Can you believe? Believe God. Well, let me ask this question and try to answer it from the scriptures. What is it to believe God? Preacher, I hear everybody talk about faith, 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 faith. What is faith? Believing God. What is it to believe God? Well, it's not just to believe there is a God. James says, you believe there's one God? You do well. The devil believes that and trembles. So it's not just to believe that there is a God. It's to believe Him. To believe Him. It's not just to acknowledge that there's a God. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ encountered the man with the evil spirits, those evil spirits says, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? They acknowledged that Jesus Christ was God. They acknowledged that they had a time when He would deal with them in judgment. And they said, have you come to torment us before the time? So to believe God is not just to acknowledge His presence, His power, His judgment. It's to trust Him. To trust Him. To lean on Him. To believe Him, to trust Him, to lean on Him. And then it's not just to profess a faith with the mouth. It's to act out that faith in coming to Him. What is it to believe God? It's to believe Him and to trust Him, to cast myself upon Him, to lean upon Him, and to come to Him and keep coming to Him. Paul sums up faith through the years of trying to preach. I've looked for definitions of faith, little places here and there, words, verses, scriptures that would help me to teach faith. But here in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. Now, here's the definition of faith. Here's a man of faith. Here's an apostle. Here's the man God used so mightily, so greatly, a man of great revelations, a man who wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. And here he gives a summary of his faith, and this is the way he gives it. He says, I know whom I have believed. Notice he didn't say, I know when I believed or I know what I believe. He said, I know whom. Salvation's a person. I know whom. I know who He is. I know He's the sovereign God. I know He's the almighty God. I know He's the just God. I know He's the merciful God. I know He's God in Christ. I know He's Jehovah, the Lord my Savior. I know He's the Redeemer. I know whom I have believed. I know something about Him. Not everything by any measure. Oh, that I may know Him, he said, in the power of His resurrection. Oh, that I may win Christ. But I know Him. And I'm persuaded. That is, I'm confident. I know Him, and I'm confident that He is able. That's what they said about Abraham. He believed God, that God was able to do all that He promised. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I believe God. I know Him. And I know, I'm confident, I'm persuaded that what He says, He can do and He will do. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like His own. He's able to accomplish His divine and holy will. I know it. I'm confident. And notice this last word. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, confident, that He's able to keep that which I've, watch it now, committed to Him. Committed. That's faith. That's faith. Not only knowledge. I know God. I know who He is. I know what He did. I know why He did it. I know where Christ is now, the right hand of God. But I'm persuaded that He's able to fulfill and do all that He promised. And He's able to keep that which I've what? Committed. Oh, yeah. None of these things are secondary. Knowledge, confidence. But I'll tell you this. Faith, if it is faith, acts. Faith, if it is faith, commits. Faith, if it is faith, surrenders. Oh, yes. God said, Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house to a land I'll show thee. Abraham believed God. Preacher, how do you know he believed God? He went out. He went out. That's how I know he believed God. Faith acts. You can't separate faith and obedience. Faith and conduct. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you receive Christ, walk in Him. Rahab, they said, hang a scarlet line out the window and you'll be spared. She believed God. Well, how do you know she believed God? She hung the scarlet line out the window. Moses, put the blood on the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. How do I know Moses and those people believed God? They put the blood on the door. Romans, you see, the book of Romans talks about the justification of the soul. By faith we're justified, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy. We conclude that a man's justified by faith without the works of the law. That's what Paul teaches in Romans. Justified, forgiven, pardoned, redeemed by His death, by His life, by His work, by His doing and dying, not by anything we do. But James comes along. And James teaches that the justification of faith is works. See, the justification of the soul is by Christ through faith. But how do you know a man's faith is genuine? By his works. Because faith without works is dead. So Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to do all that he said and able to keep. But I've proved my confidence in him and proved my faith in him and proved I know him by committing everything to him. You see, obedience, that's what separates false faith from true faith. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keeping my commandments doesn't make you love me, but loving me makes you keep my commandments. Christ said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I'm not the friend of God because I do what He says. I do what He says because I'm the friend of God. You understand what I'm saying? Faith produces works. Real faith will produce labor of love and works of faith. And if faith, a person claims to believe God and doesn't live like it and walk like it and talk like it and act like it, then he doesn't really believe God. Abraham, take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me. Abraham believed God. How do you know? He took him up there on the mountain. He did what God commanded him to do. You see, to believe Christ is to receive him. To receive him as your Lord and your Master, Lord of your life, and bow to his will. No man can serve two masters. People out in this world who claim to believe on Jesus and yet they give no evidence. They're selfish and greedy and unthoughtful and unholy and indifferent and not identified with God's people. They don't believe God. If you believe God, you walk with God. To believe Christ is to receive him. To believe Christ is to come to him, body and soul. Ruth, what did Ruth say to Naomi? She said, I love you. And where you go, I go. And your people are my people. And where you lodge, I lodge. And where you die, I'll die. And where you're buried, I'll be buried. Now, if she loved that woman, and I tell you, if a person loves Christ, you say the same thing. Where you go, I go. Your will is my will. Your command is my command. Your people are my people. Where you lodge, I lodge. And when I die in confidence and faith in you. To believe Christ is to trust him for my needs, spiritual and material and physical. Trust him. He said, take no anxious thought for what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Your Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You really believe God? Then you walk in his word. To believe Christ is to continue to believe him. To continue to trust him. To continue to believe him. To continue to rest in him. You know what John says about people that run hot for a little while and then get cold and they serve God a little while and then quit and they come to church a little while and then lay out and they believe the Bible a while and then quit believing it and they walk with this crowd a while and walk with that one. You know what John said about those folks? He said they went out from us because they never were of us. Or they claimed to be for a little while and professed to be for a little while, but he said they never were of us. How do you know they weren't of you, John? Well, if they'd been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. We are the house of Christ if we hold fast the profession of our faith firm unto the end. If anyone asks me, what is, preacher, what is it to believe God? What is saving faith? I'd say it's to know him. It's to have confidence, be persuaded that he is able to do all that he said. And it's a genuine, continual commitment. Heart, body, and soul. And all that I possess and all that I am to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is. This isn't a sign I put outside the house. This is an experience. He is Lord. All right, here's the second question now. Second point in this message. And an important part of this message, can you believe God? You see, this saving faith has a chief object. It's not just a general faith. I know, in a sense, we do believe the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, God can't lie. We believe the Word of God. And the Word of God is an object of faith. God said, my Word will not return unto me void. I believe the Bible. And then secondly, it's to believe the promises of God. From Genesis to Revelation, from that first promise, the seed of woman, to the very last promise, we believe God. We believe His promises. We believe his mercy. God's plenteous in mercy. But really and truly, now listen carefully to me. Are you with me? What is the chief object of this saving faith? This saving faith is brought together in one point. There's someone whom I believe. I believe God. I believe his word. I believe his promises. I believe his mercy. I believe his grace. But all of this is in Christ. You see, Christ is the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God, and the only way I know the Word of God is in Christ. No man has seen God at any time, save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He's even called the Word of God. And so I believe Christ, and therefore I believe the Word of God, for he is the Word of God, the very revelation of God. And then I believe God, and Christ is God. And I believe the promises. But all the promises of God are in Christ. There's nothing for the sinner outside of Christ. Every promise of God Almighty is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I believe Christ, I believe the promises of God and the mercy of God. What Paul keeps saying, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason. Now listen to this. I bring this to my point. Listen to it. That's the reason when the jailer in Philippi asked Paul, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Paul replied in one sentence, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Because Jesus Christ is God. God was in Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In Christ are all the promises of God. And in Christ is the very mercy of God. So when I believe Christ, when I receive Christ, when I embrace Christ, when I rest in Christ, then I'm resting in and trusting and believing all the Word, all the promises, and all the mercy. That's the reason John said in 1 John 1, 10 through 12. Listen to him. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, Christ is, listen to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of Him, of God, are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see what we're saying? Everything's in Christ. That's the reason Paul said, "I preach Christ and Him crucified. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ." When you preach Christ, you preach God. Christ is God. When you preach Christ, you preach the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. When you preach Christ, you preach the promises of God. When you preach Christ, you preach the mercies of God. When you preach Christ, you preach the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the redemption and sanctification of God, because it's all in Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? How does this saving faith generally come to a person? Can you believe God? Can you look to Christ and believe Christ? Well, how does this saving faith generally come to a person? How does God work faith? "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But how does God work faith? How does a person generally come to faith? Just ordinarily. I know that God works when He will, with whom He will, and really the way He will. But usually, I can give you four or five things if you'll listen. Number one, how does God generally work faith? The Lord, by the Word, never without the Word of God. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But God generally, by the Word and through His Spirit, will convince a man of sin. If you're not lost, you'll never be found. If you're not a sinner, you'll never be saved. If you're not guilty, you don't need grace. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So that's a prerequisite. That's necessary. Man's got to be convinced he's lost, that he's a sinner. And God, our Lord said, when the Holy Spirit's come, He'll convince the world of sin, of unrighteousness and unbelief. Then secondly, the Lord, by His Word and by His Spirit, will not only convince a man he's a sinner, but He'll shut him up to His mercy in Christ. That man will discover that there's no way to God by human merit. There's no way to God by human works. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by his mercy he saved us. Paul said, when the law came, I died. In other words, in the flesh, no man can please God. So we're shut up to mercy. We're shut up to his help, to his will. Like the leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole, because I certainly need it, and I can't make myself whole. Thirdly, the Lord will then, by his word and by his spirit, reveal Christ to that sinner, to that sinner's heart as his redeemer. He'll reveal Christ in his life as our righteousness and Christ in his death and by his blood as our atonement. We'll find out who died on that cross and why he died on that cross and where he is now. And the Lord, by his spirit, will reveal that salvation is in Christ. Because he died, I don't have to die. Because he lived a perfect life, then it counts to me for righteousness. And then fourthly, usually, the Lord by his word and by his spirit will work repentance and saving faith in that sinner's heart. He'll make us willing in the day of his power. The goodness of God will lead us to repentance. And he'll grant us eyes to see Christ, and ears to hear his voice, and a heart to love him. And then the Lord, by his word and by his spirit, will continue to reveal Christ. And we'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Day by day, as we feast on the word and feed on the word and feed on Christ, we grow to know him better. See, we have been saved. We're being saved. And our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, last of all, what's the confidence of faith? Well, you say our faith, the Word of God gives us assurance. Yes, but God himself is the confidence. God is almighty, God is unchangeable, and God is faithful. And he'll never leave us and never forsake us. And our confidence is not in ourselves, it's in him who saved us. Now, if you want this tape, if you want this message on a cassette tape, the title of it is, Can You Believe God? Can you just believe God? And the one I preached last week on the four important questions. Send $2. I'll send you both messages on one tape. Till next time, may God bless you, everyone.